Last week we were talking about the subject of many members, one body, and in continuing with the theme of the importance of every member in the church being part of a movement, we're going to be talking today about a creature that's mentioned a couple of times in the Bible, the ant. And I know some of you might be thinking, Pastor Doug, you know, here we are in a church and I've dressed up and come to church and we're going to talk about bugs in church. But I'm talking about what the Bible talks about. And so our message today is considering ants. Now, some of the kids, if you want to just for your own edification, if you'd like to keep track of Pastor Doug, it would be interesting to me how many times in the message today I say the word ant, or the plural of that, starting now. I bet it's going to break a record. So if you want to keep count, then you let me know afterward. I'd be interested to know that. Some of you remember the stories of Aesop's fables. And Aesop had one fable about the ant and the grasshopper. And as the story goes, one day the grasshopper was hopping along and singing on a beautiful summer day. And he saw the ant laboring and toiling, carrying a piece of grain. And he said to the ant, "Why don't you come and play with me and sing with me and dance with me?" And the ant said, "No, I need to work because I need to store away food to sustain us, to keep us alive through the cold winter that's coming." And the grasshopper said, "You just need to enjoy yourself for now." And the ant said, "No, we need to work." "Oh," he said, "you're no fun at all." And he began to ridicule the ant and gave him a hard time, and the ant carried on with his work. Well, then, as the story goes, winter came, and the grasshopper came hopping up to the door of the ant colony and said, "Please give me a grain of rice." And he said, "No." He said, "You can just keep on singing and dancing." He said, "We saved this up to keep us alive." And the moral of the story, of course, is that you need to think in advance and prepare for the future. And you know, Jesus told some parables about that. Even Jesus told a parable about an unfaithful servant. And the master told the servant, "Look, I hear you're not being faithful. You got to get your books in order and give an account, because I'm going to put you out of being the steward." And the steward called his master's debtors, and one owed him 50 pence, another one owed him 80. He said, "Take your bill and cut it in half." And Jesus commended, I know it seems odd to us, he commended this unfaithful steward. He said, he was making friends, he was making accomplices of his master's debtors so they would take him into their homes in the future when he was unemployed. And Jesus commended him and said, he was thinking ahead. Well, I'm not recommending dishonesty, neither did Jesus. But Jesus does command that we think ahead and we plan and prepare for the future. It's not a bad thing for a Christian to have a retirement account. It's especially sad if a Christian doesn't have eternal plans. What profit is it if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And so we need to work and to plan and prepare for the future. And this is what was happening there in that parable. Now, ants are legendary for being hard workers. And they are amazing creatures. Ants are really amazing. I've done several amazing facts that dealt specifically with ants. Ants come in just about every color. They are green and red and brown and yellow and blue and purple. Kind of like people, right? All these different colors. They are the most numerous creatures on the earth. Some researchers believe 15% of the animal biomass in the Amazon basin is made up of ants. There are 8,800 known species of ants in the world. They're on every continent except, strangely enough, Antarctica. You would think that would be the first place they'd go, because they wouldn't have to change their business cards. But there are some colonies that contain amazing numbers of ants, like one on the coast of Japan that's reported to have an incredible 1,800,000 queens. And there are over 306 million workers in 45 interconnected nests. One colony of ants, and they're all interrelated, and they all cooperate together. Someone also said that if you were to weigh all of the ants in the world, they would weigh about as much as all the people in the world. And there are 7 million people in the world. That's a lot of ants. I remember hearing about, there was an experiment in Arizona, and they wanted to create what they called a biosphere. It was called Biosphere 2. And they built this great enclosure, it was several acres, a glass enclosure. It had a greenhouse in it, and they had a little section of it that was like a rainforest. A little section was a desert, and a little section was forest land. And they tried to recreate all the different areas of the world in this one big experiment. And then they put 8 biospherians in there who were supposed to live there for 2 years off what just could be grown or produced. And theoretically, the plants would produce the oxygen and they would purify the water. And they tried to make a self-contained environment. Partially, they did this to wonder, can we settle on another planet? Can we take the biosphere of Earth and reproduce it somewhere else so man could have colonies on other worlds? So that was part of the idea in the experiment. And it wasn't very long after the biospherians, these 8 volunteers who said they were going to move in and live off the land in this big closed environment, they began to get very hungry, and they started talking their friends on the outside into smuggling in pizza, and they were fighting among themselves. But the thing that really brought the experiment to an end is they said that cockroaches and ants began to multiply and fill the place. They did not stay under control. And someone has estimated that if there was a nuclear holocaust on planet Earth, if anything survived, it would be ants and cockroaches. They're extremely durable. I don't know if you've heard about the invasion of fire ants that came from South America. They found their way to Florida. They've now made their way all the way. How many of you heard about the fire ants? And they got another group called crazy ants. And they've made their way across the Southwest. They are now up to Central California, coming to a home near you soon. Fire ants, and they sting and they burn. Crazy ants, they're extremely resilient creatures. They're industrious. Christians should be industrious. Ants carry on complex social organizations. They have building projects and communication systems. Many group of animals depend on leaders and herds, and like horses, it may have a chief mustang, and wolves will have an alpha wolf ahead of the pack. But ants are very organized, and they accomplish a lot, and they really have no leader. And you know, the Bible says that. You look, for instance, in Proverbs 6, 6 through 8, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain or overseer or ruler, provide their supplies in summer," as in Aesop's fable, "and gather her food in the harvest." They think ahead, they build chambers, they store, they process food so that they can then have something to eat through the cold months. And of course, Christians should be industrious. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:4, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." You know, we're a church of people who believe in keeping the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. But the Sabbath day is not just about rest. You know what the first part says? 6 days thou shalt. Do you know the command that says thou shalt labor is just as important as the part that says thou shalt rest? Amen? Yeah, the rest means a lot more if you do the 6 days of labor. And so ants were industrious. Solomon pointed to them. Do you know that their brains are among the largest of any insect, and the material in their brains most equals the material in a human brain? And it's almost like when you get a big enough ant colony, they all have a little piece of a brain cell because they somehow communicate with each other and think like one corporate brain, even though they have no leader. There's a queen, but her job is just pretty much to reproduce and lay eggs. And they're pretty amazing too. Do you know that the queen in some variety of ant colonies can live 30 years? A bug living 30 years. I mean, you've heard of the cicada that lives 17 years, but they're hibernating. This queen is having babies for 30 years, thousands of them. That to me was the most amazing fact of all. They could live that long. Yeah, they got little mushroom-shaped brains, and they are able to process a lot of information and make intelligent decisions. Ants are clean. Yeah, if you ever seen the ant nest, they actually have a dump outside the nest. You'll see the sand, and then there'll be this little pile of debris that they pile up, or you'll see seeds piled up, and now they put the sand in another place. And if their trail, if you have like these army ants, you get something in one of their regular trails, you drop something there, you'll see a bunch of ants come, they'll just put it out of the way, they keep it clean. They have a disinfectant that they can spray on their bodies to keep themselves sanitary, and when they meet each other along the way, they clean. I was just in the back with Pastor John, and Kathy, his wife, came back to him while we're talking about the service. She's taking her hand, she's kind of dusting his shoulders, and I was giving him a hard time. I started dusting the shoulders too, straightening his tie. But you know, yeah, any of you wives, you kind of go over your husbands before, you know, they go out the door and make sure that they got everything on. That doesn't match, straighten them out. Ants do that too. They meet each other along the trail, they clean each other up, and then they keep going. They're very clean creatures. The Bible says Christians should be that way too. Wash yourselves, Isaiah 1:16. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil from your doings before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Ants also, another interesting characteristic, they forge considerate relationships with their environment. In other words, ants will move into acacia trees, and the acacia tree will have an opening or crack. The ant colony will move in there. They will, in turn, they get sap from the tree. They protect the tree from anything that would hurt the tree, but they let the bees come and pollinate the tree. They won't chase the bees away. And the tree ends up surviving and thriving. They prevent the birds and other creatures from landing on it or hurting it because the ants protect it because it feeds the ants the sap. They have a lot of very interesting symbiotic relationships with other creatures and with vegetation. They farm. That's right. Ants will actually plant seeds, and when they sprout, they will pull weeds around the seeds, and when the seeds are ripe, they will harvest the seeds and bring them back into their burrows. As a matter of fact, there are ants that live in Texas. They'll clear a field that is one or two square yards. They plant the rice, they lay it out in beds, they have pathways, they weed and ripens, they tear the seeds apart, they remove the seeds husk. It's like they're winnowing it like our farmers do. Then they mix the inner seed with their saliva to form a kind of ant bread. Ants bake bread. That's right, and that's the next one. They not only farm, they bake bread. There is a species of Mediterranean ant that goes even further in their farming. These ants carefully take the dried seeds out into the rain until they sprout. But shortly after they sprout, when they soften a little bit, they chew them up and they take them down into their den where they mash them up into a dough. They reform them into little round cookies, little round chapatis, bread. Anti-bread, I don't know what you call it. They then bring it back out on a hot day, they bake it, they then take it back down, and they live on cookies all winter long. They bake. They farm. It, to me, is so amazing that they do all this. Ants are good shepherds. That's right. Ants actually have a relationship with other insects where they ranch these insects. For instance, there are ants that they shepherd and herd these little aphids. I think we got some pictures on the screen. Yeah, here are a couple of big ants that are taking care of, see the little aphids? They don't eat the aphids. They take the aphids, they carefully bring them from one plant to another. The aphids then lock on that plant. They like it, they eat the plant. The aphids then exude a sap that is sweet. The ants eat that. Just kind of like, you know, you milk a goat or sheep or something like that. And then when they've harvested that field, they take their little aphids, and then anyone tries to get their aphids, the ants will go after the ladybugs and try and eat their aphids. They then take their aphids off, and they carry them very tenderly. They don't bite them or hurt them. They watch out for the little aphid babies, like shepherds do their lambs, take them off to another plant and let them forage on the plant. It's just incredible. And you know what's really amazing to me? It only took 50 million years for all of this to evolve. Now, kids, Pastor Doug is being a little bit sarcastic here. I don't mean that. I believe in creation. I don't believe that ants evolved. But it is funny. You hear some of the evolutionists, they say, ants are amazing. This is what the evolutionists say. You know, they haven't changed since the time of the dinosaurs. Because when they see fossils, they're bigger, but they just look exactly like ants today. They see the fossils, and some of them were trapped in this amber sap, you know, and you could hold it up to light, and you'll see this ant, they say, is millions of years old. But they look exactly like ants today. And I mean, you just think about it in the world today. Like I said, there are 8,800 known variety of ant. They are fearfully and marvelously made as creatures that really help do a lot of things for the environment. So they're good shepherds. Christians should be good shepherds. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Ants will lay down their lives to protect their aphids. A shepherd sees the wolf coming. And he leaves, a bad shepherd sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. But a good shepherd lays down his life. John 21:16, Jesus said to Peter, he said, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, tend my sheep. Christians should care for the sheep. We ought to take care of each other. Ants are good shepherds. Ants also, they've got these ants called parasol ants. They are leaf cutter ants. Have you ever heard of those before? And I think we got a picture here we're going to show you real quick. They call them parasol ants because they're often seen walking in a procession carrying these big leaves overhead, and it looks like somebody carrying a parasol or an umbrella, or they're not doing it for that reason. They harvest the leaves from trees in the rainforest. Now what they do, it's amazing. God has given them mandibles, the little scissors on their face, and they'll go up and they vibrate their heads at a very high pitch, and they cut into the leaf, and they cut little sections of leaf, and they know how to cut them all just about what they can carry. And by the way, you know that an ant can carry, they're strong. An ant can carry 50 times their own weight. And they can hold with their arms about three times that. One ant's arm can hold up much more than even 50 times its own weight. It's fascinating how strong they are, pound for pound, of any insect. Anyway, back to the parasol ants or the leaf cutter ants. They vibrate their heads. I don't know if any of you remember years ago, I haven't seen any lately. They used to have electric knives. It was two serrated knives. I think they're just probably a big pain to sharpen. I haven't seen one in years. And you'd lay it on the turkey. I don't eat turkey anymore, but you'd lay it on the turkey and you'd press your electric knife and it would go through vibration. I got a friend that gave me a razor. He said, Doug, this is the best razor in the world. It's got a battery and it vibrates. And as you shave, it's a regular little, looks like a disposal razor. It's got a, it says it cuts a lot better because it vibrates. And it really does. But I got tired of the battery, so I don't use it anymore. These ants actually have vibrating heads that cut through the leaves. They cut these sections of leaves. They then take them down into their dens where a mold forms, and the leaves, they don't eat the leaves. The leaves all turn into mold. They then take the mold. They make loaves of bread out of the mold, and they basically are farming mold from the leaves, and that's what they eat way down in the nests. And it's making natural compost for the environment. Harvest or leaf-cutting ants. They're called fungus gardeners. All these different kind of ants. They store up for the time of famine. Does the Bible tell a story about a Christian who was famous for storing up for a famine? What was his name? Joseph. Yeah, he prepared. He said, there's a famine coming. You need to store away bread. These ants are doing that, not the grasshoppers. Then they got ants called the weaver ants. This was amazing to me. These ants, they build their nests not in the ground. And you know, there are ants that live just about in every environment. These ants live up in the trees. They don't live in a tree. They live in the leaves. They'll get these trees that have big leaves, and a bunch of the ants will work together, and they will pull the leaves of the tree together. I think we might have another picture of that coming up here in a second. Maybe not. Anyway, these are still leafcutter ants here that we're looking at here. These aren't the weaver ants. They're cutting little sections of leaf. The weaver ants pull leaves together, and all these ants will slowly pull the leaf, and each one will help, and it's hard for them to pull a big leaf together. Then they take a baby ant, and they signal the baby, and the baby ant in the larva exudes a silk like a spider, and the ant will touch the tip of the baby where the silk is coming out to the leaf, and it sews the leaves together, and it makes a house. And some of these ants that are holding the leaf while the seamstress ant is sewing the leaf together will stay in position for 3 days, holding it in place for the others to sew it. It's just incredible to me how they all cooperate using their various gifts. Makes me think of a church. Weaver ants. A colony might have 150 nests on 20 trees over a span of 600 yards. You know what men do in some countries, they'll take one of these bundles, it looks like about a football-sized leaf, and the ants live inside. They'll carefully take one of those. They then place it in their trees, and it keeps away the pests, yet it protects the fruit. And so they take these, even people have some symbiotic relationships with ants. Then they've got ants that are called honeypot ants. Now these are really bizarre looking creatures, and they look very much like the name suggests. There's a honeypot ant. That's one ant. Now they aren't born that way. They get that way. Of course, we're not born that way either. Some of us get that way too. But honeypot ants are, they don't do it to themselves. They are hyper-fed by the rest of the colony, and I don't know who they decide does it, but they have a lottery or something. They'll say, all right, who wants to be the honeypot? And then all the other ants will feed these ants, and these ants put on quite a bit of sap, and then they hang. Do you have that other picture, Cheryl? Where they're hanging from the roof? Yeah, there they are. Look at that. Then they will hang from the roof of the den, suspended like that, and when the lean times come along, the other ants come up to them, and they stroke them with their, not their antlers, their antenna, and they send them a signal, and they'll turn around, and then they basically regurgitate some of the food for them. They feed all the others what they have stored. You know, one reason for us to study the Word, and the Bible says the Word of the Lord, and the law of the Lord is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. And we need to store that up, not just for ourselves, but that we might have something to share with others. And so then you feed your soul, not just for yourself, but so that you can share the Word with others. And so these honeypot ants, it's amazing to me. They're all ants. And look at the incredible variety of ways. If they all evolved from the same ants, how did they evolve such incredibly different methods for feeding themselves during the hungry times? To me, it's just amazing. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. They basically sacrifice themselves to feed the others during the lean times. I heard a story one time about a person that was taken in a dream, and they were shown heaven. And everybody at heaven was sitting at a banquet table covered with the most delectable food, and they were all very happy. And then they were shown a picture of hell. And they were surprised to see everybody in hell was at a similar banquet table with all the same food, and they were miserable. And the man turned to his angel. He said, I don't understand it. It looks like the people in hell have the same banquet table as the people in heaven, but the people in hell look so unhappy. They're all miserable and crying, and the people in heaven are all so happy. And he said, look closer. And the angel brought him closer to the tables. And he saw that in heaven, they all had chopsticks on their hands, and they were 3 feet long. And they could only eat with the chopsticks. But they couldn't get the chopsticks in their own mouth, so they fed each other. So they were happy. In hell, they only thought about feeding themselves, and so they couldn't eat. And they were unhappy. They had the chopsticks there too. And so, you know, that's one of the keys to happiness in life is You know, we had an adage on the street. It was, what goes around comes around. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will men heap into your bosom, Jesus said. For with what measure you meet, it will be measured to you again. And if we're only thinking about what we can get for ourselves, but if we're thinking about what we can give to others, I thought that was a great illustration. People in hell were starving because they wouldn't feed others with their chopsticks. Ephesians, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather labor, working with his hands what is good, that he might have something to give to him who has need. 1 Timothy 6:18, ready to give, willing to share. And then here's a part about ants that is easy to remember. Ants are good soldiers. You've heard of army ants. And you know, army ants actually don't live in the barracks. They kind of bivouac. Now see that ant here? That's one of the soldier ants. You know, you notice he's got an interesting head. You know why? Some of the ants have a head that is made for blocking the door to the den. And what he does is he just stands there all the time and he guards the door and he sticks it and he plugs it with his head. I got a head like that too, don't I? And they've got, it's not a sand, sometimes they're in a tree or something like that, and they will block the hole, and the other ants will come along, and they'll stroke the code with their antenna, and they'll say, okay, it's a friend, and he'll open up, he'll let them in, then he plugs the door again. If it's an enemy ant, they can't get through, because he stands there and he guards the way to keep the whole colony safe. And then, of course, you've got some ants, they don't have the big heads, but they got the big mandibles. They're very strong, and they can do a lot of damage with that. When you have army ants and they go on a foray through the jungle to feed, you've got all of them have different jobs. Some of them are on the front. They're the big ones, they're the strong ones, and they also stand and guard the colony that is moving down this road. And any of you ever seen army ants? Usually they're not here. You'll see them like in Central America or South America. So you've seen them, maybe you've seen them on TV. But when it comes time to go on the run, they kind of go on a foray looking for food. They take everybody with them. At the end of the day, they bivouac. They don't have colonies. They don't live in a tree. They don't live in the ground. They will all like hang from a bush or something. And some of the ants, their job is to be part of the wall. And they all lock their arms together and they create a big nest out of their bodies. The queen, they carry along, all the babies they carry along, they're all on the inside. All the food is kind of carried along and eaten on the fly. They don't have to store it in Central America because they don't have winter like we do. So they just eat their food all the time. But it's like a roaming army. But they got some of them that are the guards. They're the soldiers in the colony. Bible says 2 Timothy 2:3-4, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he might please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So they are great burden bearers too. You've probably seen ants going along, and there's a picture with those soldier ants. He's got the big mandibles, and they can carry great armies of things. A cluster or a colony of soldier ants might have 15,000 ants in the nest that hook their legs together to make the temple for all the others. You know, the Bible says that you and I are living stones in the temple of God. And we together, if this church building is destroyed, do we still have a church? Why? Because you are the church of God. It's not the building. And we are a living habitation that is filled with the Lord. So I always thought that was interesting. They are like the building on the move. Ants are fearless. They don't typically run from a fight. Hebrews 11:13 talks about the heroes of faith. These all died in faith and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And there you got a picture of an ant biting somebody. I know that looks a little scary, but one reason I'm showing you that, ant is not afraid to attack something that's 1,000 times bigger than itself. Kind of like David and Goliath. They will lay their lives down for the colony. That particular variety of ant will lock onto something and will not let go. And I don't know who figured this out, but some while ago, someone got an idea. And if you go to pull that ant off, I know it's not a pleasant thought, but his head will detach and his body will be pulled away, but his head will stay there with the mandibles hooking into the skin. Doctors learned from natives in Africa that when somebody had a cut, they would use the head of these ants as sutures. They'd take a living ant with a couple of tweezers, they'd put it over the wound, the ant would pull the wound closed, and then they'd twist it and break it off, and it would stay there, the head would stay there. And they used the head as sutures. Now, I don't know what the spiritual illustration is in that, but I just thought that was an interesting fact. That's an example of what they do there. They are fearless. And they are brave. And then, you know, one of the important things for our message today, they work together. They cooperate. All the ants from one colony will all support and work together. I know sometimes it looks like, you ever seen ants where several ants are carrying something and one of them looks like he's causing more problems? He's just hanging on. He's the manager. He's giving instructions. I thought that was a cute illustration there. Yeah, they all work together. They all cooperate. Romans 12, 4 through 6. For we have many members in one body, and all the members don't have the same office. For we, being many, are one body in Christ. We talked about this last week. Everyone members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You know, scientists still have not figured out how ants communicate. Now, they know that ants, when they're on the run or when they're foraging for food, they lay down a chemical trail in these hormones, or what do you call them? Pheromones, that they can find the way to food, and one of them will kind of leave a trail that they can smell, and they find their way back. But what they don't know is when ants go to begin working together to build a colony. Kathy was saying, Pastor Doug, you brought a mannequin in last week. You're going to bring in an ant farm this week. I wish I could. That'd really be fun. I'd have to magnify it for you. But when they build a colony, there are ants that all seem to know without anybody giving directions what their assignment is. It's almost like they are spirit-led. It's like they have one collective brain that's guiding each one of them. And some of them know, I'm the guard, and I know what my job is. I don't know where they go to school to learn what their job is, but they seem to know what their job is. Some will say, I'm in the nursery. I take care of the babies. Some of them will say, all right, I'm a scout. I go looking for food. Others say, we're burden bearers. We carry the food. Other ones say, we know how to build the ventilation part of the nest. We do the ventilation part. Someone else says, we do the storage chambers of the nest. There's all these different responsibilities, and you're wondering, where do they get this? How do they know? They all look the same. Well, not some of the ants, the soldier ants are bigger than the regular ants, the guard ants. But in many species of ants, they all look the same, but they all seem to know what their responsibility is. Kind of made me think about the church, where we are all servants of the Lord. We're all the body of Christ. But the Holy Spirit is directing us all to use our respective talents and gifts in building up the body. And I know, it's kind of hard for us to say, Pastor Doug, you made us all want to be better ants at the end of the day. But there's something we can learn from these things. I mean, Solomon said, consider the ant. And that's what we're doing today. Then they got these ants that are called trap jaw ants. They hold the record for having the fastest moving biological mechanism in nature. There's a shrimp that comes in second place that can snap its claw very quick. These trap jaw ants can close their mandibles at 145 miles an hour. That is a mere 0.13 milliseconds. And they can, when they encounter something, they can snap their jaw shut. It's just an amazing fact. It probably the only spiritual analogy would be they know how to close their mouths very quickly. Something else about ants is they protect their own. You know, someone said once, some Christians are, they seem to specialize in shooting their own wounded. And ants are very good at protecting their own. In fact, all ants in a colony are brethren. Most of them are sisters. There are a few males that have a relationship with the queen, and the rest of them are all females that are doing the work, but they're all related. And if you check their DNA, you can tell which ants belong to which colony. There are signatures that every colony has that is distinct. They have these, just another side note, there's these ants now that have become something of a plague around Europe. They're called Argentinian ants. And they came over on some boats, as near as they can figure. And these ants all were part of one colony that somehow got on a boat from South America. They found their way to Italy. And this one colony now, one colony of ants, has spread all the way up the coast of Italy, around the Mediterranean, till Spain. And they're all an invasive species. I don't know if you'd heard of that before. These Argentinian ants that have spread everywhere. But they're all related. We are all brothers and sisters when we're part of the Christian colony, so to speak. And, you know, in our little church I used to pastor, when I first joined there, everybody called everybody brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Do any of you remember those days? We don't do that so much anymore now. And the kids always call the adults aunt. And to this very day, our kids that are in their 30s and 40s, when they meet some of our old friends from Covelo, it's Uncle Joe, Aunt Roxy, Aunt Linda, everybody was aunt and uncle. And it kind of gave a sense of family when you came and everybody was brother and sister, so-and-so. And we are brethren in Christ. Aren't we adopted into a family? We become one. And then, as I'm nearing conclusion here, ants are extremely zealous and protective of their young. If the colony or the nest is in any way threatened, you know the first thing they do? They do everything they can to rescue the young. They care for the young. They protect the young. They feed the young. They guard the young. They die to save the young. And you know, one of the signs of a healthy church, and there they are, they're moving from place to place. And I know it looks like they're being fierce, but they're very tender in the way they carry the little ant babies. Those are little ant papooses there, the larvae. And if they move the colony, they'll carry all the young. If there's a flood, first thing they do, they don't go save the food first, they go save the young. And they realize that the future depends on the babies. And is that true with the church? We need to care for the young. We need to be very zealous to make sure that they're part of the service, that they're getting good nutrition and training and teaching in their Sabbath school departments, and they're being grounded in the faith. It's like Paul said to Timothy, and from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. So they're very zealous in caring for the young. And finally, the thing that impresses me about ants is they are sacrificial. I don't know if you've ever seen before where ants are trying to get from one place to another. Maybe they're stranded. Ants will climb on each other's shoulders, and they will build a ladder out of their bodies. And once they link up with their destination, those that want to be the bridge will hang on and let all the others climb over them. They're willing to sacrifice themselves to make that possible. If their colony is threatened, they may know that they're going to get stomped, but they will bite and they'll do whatever they need to do. They will spray. They can spray formic acid on their enemies. In fact, there was this strange behavior. I know I get easily distracted. It's kind of having an ADD pastor. They wondered why crows would land on this nest of ants and stir them up and stay there. And they finally realized that the ants, when they got irritated by the crows, would spray, they can spray from their abdomens, this formic acid on the crow's feathers. They found out that the crows had discovered this kills the mites and the pests that bother them. So as long as they could keep it out of their eyes, it didn't hurt the crows, but it was like a bath. They'd take an ant bath and it cleansed them. But the ants were willing to sacrifice themselves and to lay down their lives. Maybe you've even heard about how ants, if there's a flood, a number of ant varieties, they will link all their bodies together. They'll make an island and they float. The ones that are on the bottom will drown, but they will die hanging on to each other. Others will carry the babies on top, and they form this big floating mass. And the ones on the bottom have made themselves a boat, and they basically sacrifice themselves to make a boat, because you know ants breathe through their skin. If they're underwater for very long, they drown. And they lay down their lives to save the others. The Bible tells us, no greater love has anyone than this. And that's John 15:13, than to lay down his life for his friends. So even though they're humble little creatures and their brains are about the size of a grain of salt, they've actually got a little virtue in that while they value their lives, they'll lay down their lives to save others. Romans 5:6-8. For while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man die for one, yet peradventure a good man, some would even dare to die for. But God commends his love towards us in that yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Answer sacrificial. They'll lay down their lives. Well, you know, I was inspired when I thought about ants and what good workers they are. Just in review, think about this for a minute. Ants farm. They care for livestock. They cultivate the soil, they plant, and they harvest. They have an extensive child care program and nurseries. They can build nests with climate control. They have career specialization. They have civic duties. They have armed forces. They have security. They have earth movers. They have social planning. They have engineering. They have communications. Oh, by the way, they found out ants do make noise that other ants can hear. You've probably never heard an ant yell before. There's very little yells that you can't hear, but they do make noise. The other ants do have hearing. They do have sight. They have flood control. And to some extent, they can think independently. Even though they're separated from the colony, individual ants, they realize, have a big enough brain to make independent decisions. It's very amazing when you think about that. And God was able to fit all of that in a bug so we can learn from them. God wants us to be considering the ants. And you know, in particular, what he said about remembering the ants. He said, they think ahead, they plan, and they work. He said, go to the ant, you sluggard. We have a work to do because Jesus is coming soon. Ants are busy. And we need to be busy for the Lord. We need to be using our spiritual gifts as a family. Nothing's more important than the colony to the ant. If you're a Christian, the body of Christ, the church of Christ ought to be a priority. Amen? So, did you learn anything about ants today? Any of the kids figure out how many times I said it? 2 million. Gotta redo those figures. 166, 175. I was just curious. I thought I'd give you all the final number. Somewhere in there, at least over 100 times. Ant. There you go. Now add that up. Well, we're going to work for the Lord. Amen?